Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to Musicals with Cheese. I'm Jess and I am joined as always by Andrew.
Hello, all you wonderful people.
Today's musical that we're talking about is actually an internet musical, which is something that has grown in popularity over the last 10 years, created by the people from StarKid, which originated in the University of Michigan. Yay, Michigan. And what is that musical, Andrew?
Oh, about 3 months ago, we decided to watch Twisted, and now we're finally doing it. It was all Jess's fault, so if you want to blame anyone, it was not me. I was constantly pushing, trying to get this out. Jess was just, he was slow on it.
Yeah. Either way.
This is the first one where I've actually seen it already before we decided to do the episode.
Yes.
Seen this 3 times now.
I've seen it roughly between 6 and 10 times. It is a long show. It is like 3 hours.
6 and 10 times. Holy fuck.
Yeah. It's a good thing that just throw on in the background.
I suppose.
Yeah, like, you don't always have to pay attention to it, but when you do pick up on it, it's like, ah, that's nice, I get to watch this.
Yeah, I should chop your ear off saying something like that.
Because you don't like my face?
Got him.
The show was performed July 4th, 2013 at the Greenhouse Theater Center in Chicago. It was written by A.J. Holmes with a book by Matt Lang, Nick Lang, and Eric Con Gale, who are all member of the production team StarKid. The cast involves the StarKid regulars of Dylan Saunders, Rachel Soglin, Jeff Blim, Meredith Stipen, Joe Walker, Nick Gage, Jim Pavolo, Jamie Lynn Beatty, Lauren Lopez, Denise Donovan, Robert Mannion, and Alex Paul. All the usuals.
It's a big show.
It is, but, like, considering all the characters that you have and that's the whole list of the cast?
Yeah, I suppose so. They have a lot of people playing multiple parts.
Yeah, it reminds me a lot of the Monty Python way of doing it. Men and women, gender is kind of subjective in this world.
Kind of like a Monty Python kind of show anyways.
It is. It's a little more structured. I think this is easily their best show. I think it's the one where they finally hit their stride. A lot of people love their Harry Potter stuff, but I feel like the fandom behind that has made me appreciate it less, as well as it's just technical failings. I think this is where the humor, the technical, and the acting all came together in the best form. Either way, Twisted is a parody of Disney films, specifically Aladdin, but doing the villain reversal that you see as from Wicked, and that's why it's called Twisted, where it tells Jafar's point of view of the story as opposed to Aladdin's.
Yeah. You want me to respond to that? I think it's great, and it ruined Aladdin for me. I can't watch Aladdin anymore.
It kind of changes the way you view it a bit, but not particularly in a negative way. You just kind of wish... Now I find myself, when I'm watching Aladdin, I just kind of wish I was watching Twisted instead, if that makes sense.
Can we talk about Aladdin for a little bit?
Let's talk about Aladdin. Aladdin was a mid-90s Disney film, and the last lyrical work of Howard Ashman. That's all I got to say about Aladdin. What do you have to say?
Well, let's just talk about, like, I used to like Aladdin. I thought it was pretty fun. But I can't watch it anymore because of this fucking musical.
I have not tried to watch it since then, since I've seen this, because Aladdin was never my favorite Disney film. I'm not a fan of most Disney films, sadly enough.
I'm not, like, a huge fan or anything, and Aladdin was definitely not my favorite. But, like, I used to like it, and then... I can't watch it now. It's like, now I just see Aladdin as a douchebag. Just like, oh shit, you're right.
I think that the references they make in this are very interesting, and it is fun to imagine, like, the Twisted world going on at the same time as the Aladdin film, even though it doesn't quite make sense. But it's,
I'm surprised you haven't tried to watch Aladdin, because it's fun to watch it and see all the stuff that they're referencing. Because, like, the chase scene, they actually mention things that happened in Aladdin, specifically, like, the bed of nails and falling in the manure.
Well, that, and, like, that stuff, yeah. I just remember from childhood. Like, that's...
Really? You remembered all that stuff?
Yeah. I remember the fire eaters and all this and, like, all that. Because that was the only fun thing for a kid in the first half of Aladdin. And, like, after that scene, it gets boring until, like, Robin Williams jumps in.
And then the whole movie is just Robin Williams stand-up.
I mean, where's the lie? But at least it's fun for a kid.
It's true, though.
Aladdin, I didn't have any connection with it, but I think I have a deeper appreciation for it now that I've seen Twisted, in all honesty. But I would rather watch Twisted on any given day.
Cheese rating of Aladdin?
I don't give those.
Okay, I'll give one. You know, Swiss? Fuck it, I don't know. At this point, I'm just giving out, I'm just making stuff up with the cheese. I can't, there's no logic.
You could have used goat cheese or something like that.
Oh, that would have been good.
This is one of those few things that me and Andrew actively enjoy and is very well available to you right now if you probably just click the suggestions. So maybe you should probably watch it. We both recommend it highly before you keep on watching us.
Yeah, I mean, we're probably going to get into spoilers at some point, and I think it's just better if you just watch it because it is really good. And you could just watch it on YouTube. You don't have to buy tickets or anything like that.
And there's, like, some, like, joke twists, which I think, unlike actual plot twists, are actually ruined when you know the punchline. And I wouldn't want to accidentally, like, reveal those to you.
Yeah, so I would say at this point, it's already recommended by both of us.
Yeah, but so just let's not keep on pretending that the people who watch my stupid show haven't already watched this.
It's true. If you're watching this, you probably have already seen this.
You probably came to this looking for a Twisted, and then you're like, oh, I clicked the wrong thing. Yeah, shit.
You're a dumb fuck.
I finally make a difference. And all the grateful citizens will say to me.
Fuck
what
you.
Do you think of the opening
fuck
number,
you.
Dream a Little? That's you.
I was surprised that they didn't, like, parody, like, the opening to Aladdin with, like, Arabian Nights more, but they kind of
yeah,
just parody Beauty and the Beast more,
Beauty
like,
the
it
Beast.
With...
They even have Belle in the song.
And it sets a tone perfectly, like, that, like, the first, like, words outside of a character that isn't our main is, fuck you.
Fuck you, Jafar.
And the best part is, like, Dylan Saunders, who plays Jafar, takes it in stride in a way that's so comedically
sad. Yeah, it's like he's
just
sad. So used to it that he doesn't even, like, he's not even shocked.
He still has he has the smile on his face as everyone's, like, saying.
He just wants his book.
He just wants to read Wicked. Yeah, and the ensemble does a great job, and I can imagine, like, them having to change costumes and, like, play these things. Like, every one of the people in the ensemble at the beginning comes back as another character, and you almost don't even notice.
Yeah, there's, like, several different sets of characters in the one song, all played by the same people. It's a very funny song, I don't know. It sort of sets the tone, in a way.
It sets a tone, and it sets a location, and it sets up that it's not just Aladdin that they're tackling.
Yeah. They definitely could have done the Aladdin opening, and it probably would have been really good, but I think it works.
I think it works, too. It sets up the character and an actual story, which I appreciate, too. The fact that they made their own story. Like, they made it important to actually have a story and not just a bunch of jokes.
So the story is one of the better parts of the...
That's what makes it stand out from the rest of their stuff.
Yeah, it's not literally just like a comedy act. Like, haha, Disney movies are stupid, right?
It has a surprising amount of sentimentality to it. Like, it tricks you. Like, they lure you in with the comedy, but then they gut punch you with the drama. Did you know in this barbaric country they only give you money if you work? Thanks, but no thanks. The man, I'll keep stealing all I can. Instead of being a fascist, you'll be a jerk. The next song is I Steal Everything, performed by Aladdin.
It's I mean, they basically took it right from the original movie. I mean,
yeah, I'd only steal what I can't afford, which is everything.
It's literally, he says that in the movie.
And Jeff Blim really sells this song. Like, he has the comedic timing where he's still like a very likable asshole. Like, we're not even like totally against him yet. Despite him being, he was like a lovable douchebag, like a David Spade or something.
In this song, yeah. Later in the,
he gets worse.
But like at first, you're like, oh, that's kind of funny. But he's kind of playing the actual Aladdin in a way, for like the first part of it. I mean, he's basically singing the same message as what's in the actual movie. Like, I steal everything.
I knock up women, then run away.
I mean, it's not in the Disney movie, but we can assume.
You probably did. And they take direct lines like, getting in trouble a little early. You're only in trouble if you get caught.
Busted.
This is probably one of the better like comedic songs in this, I say.
I just love the ending line gets me every time. He'll steal your heart. I want to live on the moon and eat it in a pie and keep it as a pet and wear it like a gemstone in my hair. And someday soon.
Speaking of stealing your heart, then we get to our lead ingenue's character, the princess, who is just known as Princess. And she has this song called Everything and More.
It's okay. I mean, I get what they're doing. It's a parody of every Disney princess is like, they already are royalty and they have so much money and shit. And they're just like,
well, they're making fun of the vagueness of it. Like, and how they say like, I just want more. And then she gets into the specifics of the more she wants. She wants to live on the moon. She wants to eat the moon while living on it. And like, it's funny, but it's like,
it's kind of bland.
It didn't hit me as much, you know.
Definitely,
it wasn't as funny.
Just skip that part.
It's very long. Like, if it was a little shorter, I think I'd be a little more kind to it.
Yeah,
but this is like nitpicky bullshit.
No, this part of it's terrible. Actually, skip it. Just saying. I'm joking. It's a joke, guys. Come on, don't skip it.
Oh yeah, don't skip it. Don't skip any of this. A lot of people worked hard on this, but we're allowed to critique it, I guess. For life's a two-way street. Keep that in mind. And you'll be kind to everyone you meet. Follow the golden rule.
Follow the golden rule. It isn't hard to do. It's very easy. Always treat others like secrets you have. And they'll do the same for you. Follow the golden rule. They'll do it for you. Follow the golden rule.
It leads into Jafar's I Am song, which is Follow the Golden Rule.
He's literally Jesus.
He is. This is a Christ figure story. Jafar is Jesus.
I mean, it kind of is, actually.
I mean, I was like baffled for a second when you said it, and now I'm like, ah, all right, I see where you get it.
The Golden Rule, and then, I mean, spoilers, but he basically sacrifices himself at the end. Just, I'm throwing it out there. This is a Christ. He's Jesus.
Cram God's spell right up your ass. We got twisted for our Jesus metaphors.
Bringing it out. Come on.
But it is immediately subverted when we have the old vizier's version of Golden Rule, which is follow the gold, comma, end rule.
Very clever. I like the wordplay.
Yeah. It works very well. And I love Joe Walker's, like, really intense delivery of it. And inspires him to say, I want to know your story. I want to know your past. I want to know your future too. Fill my days and nights with the tale of you. I want to know your story. So make the story last. Then Jafar and Sherazad, he meets this lady named Sherazad. And they sing a song called 1001 Nights, and they fall in love and immediately get married. However, after the song ends, he is taken to the Sultan, and he immediately demands Sherazad as his wife, and they are separated.
So 1001 Nights is actually probably my second favorite song in the whole thing.
It really is an effective love song. It really is. Unironically, it is very emotionally resonant. And it comes up a lot. Like, it is a recurring leitmotif within the show.
And I really like that song. I think that's probably one of the best in it.
Yeah, it's very effective. And I think that both Meredith Steepen and Dylan Saunders have very good chemistry, surprisingly.
I think if this little, like, subplot wasn't in the show, it would be a lot worse. It would be a lot weaker.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
It would be a series of jokes, but if you don't have that emotional core to it, like, you're kind of missing out.
Yeah, it would just be jokes and jokes, and it's like, haha, Aladdin. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. But the fact that we have that, and it makes the jokes, you appreciate them a bit more, but the emotional resonance helps a lot in keeping you watching.
Absolutely.
Which is why I think Jafar's follow-up, If I Believed, where we're back in the present, and he's just like, I want to find this so I can get my wife back.
He wants to save the kingdom, and it's like, not selfish.
He wants to save the kingdom. He wants to get the lamp and get the djinn and help him out.
Yeah, he doesn't even mention bringing his wife back in that song. You're putting things into... He's Jesus. He's not selfish.
He's got a beard just like Jesus.
Just a little twisty.
A little twisted. But meanwhile, while Jafar was having his flashback, Aladdin meets up with the princess, and he tells his sad, sad backstory. The song Orphaned. Pulled myself up by my bootstraps and started stealing all I could. Still, there's no one to love me now, but I'll make it through somehow.
Just the joke is the title.
Yeah, really, that one kind of goes on a little long for me.
I mean, there's basically one joke, and the joke is right away, pretty much. And they just tell the joke over and over. It's funny. It's funny that he's like playing it up like it's actually tragic or something, and the princess is like falling for it. But, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's move on from that. That's one of the weaker songs. I agree. I mean, the joke's funny at first, but like on repeat watches, I don't think I sit through it very much. No. Space, a humble yet cozy abode. Then we got the Act One closer, the Quadrilette, the happy ending, One Day More style, between Jafar, the Princess Aladdin, and the ensemble, where they all describe how they want their happy ending. Jafar wants to save the kingdom, the princess wants Aladdin, and Aladdin wants to be a rich dude, because stealing is so much easier when you already got tons of gold.
He wants to be a rich dude, and he wants to fuck the princess.
Yes. Because, you know what? He can't get her out of his head until he gets the nut out. He will get his nut out. His eternal nut out.
That's such a great line.
And Dylan Sanders, like, phased during it.
Your eternal nut out.
Like he's saying something, like, really poignant, but...
Seriously, go watch this. This whole video's just gonna be us laughing at the joke.
Act 2 starts with a subplot that we didn't even bring up, and that involves Prince Ahmed of the Kingdom of Pixar. The princess set her tiger on him, and everyone considers him a tiger fucker. And that's why he sings a song no one remembers. Nevermore will they mock you, Ahmed. He fucked a tiger. I did not fuck a tiger. It will stick. They'll remember Ahmed. They'll remember Ahmed. They'll remember Ahmed. I really appreciate the song no one remembers Ahmed, especially like his relationship with his like serfs and like his people. Like the easy joke would be like, oh, they're laughing at him because they think he fucked a tiger, but no, they are very respectful of him, but they also think that he fucked a tiger, and they're like, if you want to fuck a tiger, we'll get you that tiger to fuck.
They respect him more because he did that, so I'm pretty sure. Yes. The point of the song, like,
which is why it's hilarious. Like they didn't go for the easy joke, they went for the more like the not obvious joke.
Yeah, the obvious joke would be like, ha ha.
You stupid, you fucked a tiger. But here it's like, no, you are amazing because you fucked a tiger, and we will make sure you can fuck a tiger again.
We'll get you your tiger.
And they call him tiger fucker, but not as like a angry term, but like, yes, this is our tiger fucker, our king. And that is so much funnier. I don't know why or how, but here and now, I'm tempted to take off my clothes with you. I wanna take off my clothes with you. I feel free as a bird, with no cage and no owner. Look, that priest has a boner. No, I think that's just his knees. Take off your. Loving care, accept the cosmic dare, and take off your clothes, princess, take off your pants. You don't have to pretend with me. Show me your magic carpet, even the stars above. Moving on to Aladdin and the princess's song, he takes her on a magic carpet ride. And it's called Take Off Your Clothes, as a reference to a subliminal message, allegedly, that Christian moms heard in the Aladdin VHS tape, where he's like, good tiger, but they heard good teenagers take off their clothes.
But
did you not know that?
I didn't know that. I know they referenced the people say that you could see sex in the stars.
Yeah, sex in the stars. That priest has a boner. Like all the Disney subliminal messages, but one of the big ones was Aladdin allegedly saying, "Take off your clothes," like in the Aladdin VHS tape.
Yeah, even though I'm pretty certain most of those subliminal messages are not really.
There's only one, and that was in The Rescuers, where there is legit a naked woman back there.
Well, there's also Roger Rabbit too, right? But they edited that out.
Yeah, I mean that was never in it. Then they added it in as a joke to like one Blu-ray, and it got out, and
and then they took it out again.
Subliminal messages aren't real. No, even if they were, it's not going to trick you into like fucking anything that you're not supposed to.
I don't know. It almost worked.
Yeah, she almost took off her clothes. What do you think of this song? Yeah.
Of the song? Oh. It's funny, and there's a lot of references in it, but...
I actually like it a lot. I think mostly because I lost my shit the first watch when the stars, like, said, fuck each other. Like, that... Like, when something does, like, something to the 10th degree that I don't even, like, know, like expect, I laugh really hard. I appreciate it more. I think it. I don't listen to it when it comes on my iPhone or anything, but like I will watch all of it when it's like playing and enjoy it.
It's
yeah, good. It's really good.
It's not one of the worst songs.
I'll never be a hero. All the citizens adore. But if I hide to save my life, what has my life been for? What has my life been for? The road ahead may twist, but I will never swerve. I'll give them all the unsung anti-hero they deserve. I've nothing left to lose, so the only path to choose is twisted. My words let the people scorn me. Who cares if no one will ever mourn me? Let them bury the sign of the story they'll never learn. Let the truth be twisted. Let my life be twisted. I'll be twisted. It's my turn.
But it is followed by one of my favorite songs. Possibly, and it's probably my top 100 favorite musical songs, and it's called Twisted, and it's the title song where Jafar is left in the position where if he does a thing, it'll make him look bad, but will save everyone, but if he doesn't, it'll hurt everyone. And he's like, man, people are gonna call me a bad person for this, like, it's gonna look really bad.
Let's be real. When all the other Disney villains and then, show up. Okay, that's the whole point.
All the other Disney villains tell their twisted story where they were really the good guy, basically.
Au contraire.
Scar wanted to end segregation. Gaston just loved Belle for her personality. Ursula was kicked out of her kingdom because Triton hated women. Captain Hook just wanted to teach the boy responsibility.
You know, honestly, the Captain Hook one, I think, is probably the most accurate.
It may seem small, the power to love one another is the greatest power of all. No matter where life leads us, we'll never.
Next song, and it's the penultimate song, The Power in Me, between the princess and Jafar. So Jafar has to take the place of the genie to grant everyone what they need to be granted. And this is their goodbye song. And this is where the Jafar realizes, oh yeah, the Sultan doesn't have a penis, so you're my daughter.
I'm not sure how he didn't realize that earlier.
Maybe you just don't remember he has an inverted penis.
Is your penis an innie or an out?
Well, mine too.
okay.
What do you think of this song?
It's all right.
It's okay. It does the job. It's sentimental, but in a good way.
Yeah, we missed like a bunch of it though, because there's really no songs that explain the whole ending.
Yeah, let's not spoil everything.
Can we at least talk about the whole Green Goblin thing going on?
Yeah. So, in this final section of the show, we find out that Aladdin killed his parents.
He turns into the Green Goblin from Spider-Man. I really can't think of any other way to put that. I mean, that's literally what's happening, I think.
Jekyll and Hyde type stuff.
He reminds me way too much of what's his name, that actor, though.
Yeah, Willem Dafoe.
Like, he does the face.
He does look like a young Dafoe.
I don't know.
He's actually a better dead ringer for fucking young Han Solo than Alden Ehrenreich.
Oh, no, we're not going to talk about Star Wars, are we?
No.
Okay, let's bring up Star Wars. It's by.
They did do a Star Wars musical. It wasn't very good.
No, just like the Star Wars Christmas special. Just nothing.
No, that one's great.
Oops. Just like that one.
That one's amazing. B. Arthur. Mm.
B. Arthur. I can't wait.
I wasn't down before, but now that I hear B. Arthur's there. Count me in.
This is almost as good as the Star Wars Elf crossover. What?
No. That was a thing?
I just stuck up at this point.
All right. Yeah, that was a cool scene. Either way, the show ends with a reprise of the best song in the show for Andrew, 1001 Nights, where Shahrazad and Jafar are reunited.
It's a good ending. The song is very short, though.
Everything's wrapped up in a really emotional way. Like, there's not everyone gets what they want, but not exactly. But it was a challenging ending, like, for like a comedic little YouTube movie.
I don't
movie.
Think Aladdin gets what he wants.
What are you talking about? He sells stuff.
He sells stuff.
He doesn't have to steal, he sells.
People probably steal from him now.
Mm-hmm. How would you recommend it in the line of all of the other musicals that we reviewed? We're on episode 5, but I think it would be nice to keep a track of what Andrew likes most. So if you had to rate the musicals we've reviewed so far in a list format, what would be your top 5? Because we're on number 5. We aren't going to do this every time. We'll just do it every 5.
Okay. A Sweeney Todd's on the top.
That's number 1.
Then this one.
Okay.
Then Assassins. Then the Rocky Horror, and then Rent at the bottom.
Wow, he liked Rent less than the Rocky Horror Time Warp show.
No, Rent was miserable.
Pretty good friends.
Alrighty, and I don't think I can disagree with that. Hopefully we'll do some more good stuff in the future.
Yeah, this is probably gonna be a shorter one, but I mean, how many times can we say go watch this fucking thing?
Yeah, this thing is great. Please take the time. I know it looks long and I know it's a YouTube video, but I assure you it is quality.
Can we link it?
Yeah, we can. It is up there with like Dr. Horrible in like its quality.
Yeah. So I mean, sorry the episode's a little short, but I mean, fucking just watch the damn thing.
I agree. Andrew, what is your cheese rating for Twisted?
Ooh, it's high quality, so I'm going to give it, like, my personal favorite cheese is a standard American cheese.
This is a standard American show.
It's from Chicago.
It originated in Michigan. Everyone there went to U of M.
This is a American show through and through.
Mm-hmm. Let us know if you want us to do more Star Kid shows. I have yet to watch Firebringer, but I hear it's good. I've seen all the rest of them, and I think Andrew might get a kick out of some of them too, except for Annie. I didn't care for Annie.
Well, they did their own version of Annie.
Yeah, it's about Anakin.
Oh God.
And the guy who's playing Anakin does a Patrick Warburton impression throughout it.
What?
Yeah. It has some funny moments, but overall it was pretty disappointing.
I'm assuming this is about Anakin Skywalker. Am I wrong here? Am I completely off?
It's about Darth Vader, but they call him Annie. Like,
okay, so it's about the later years.
It's its own weird thing. It's like,
Annie, are you okay?
Yeah, kind of.
Are you okay?
Maybe I should watch this again. I'm looking at like the list of cast, and I'm like, right. I forgot that like Grand Moff Tarkin was played by Ahmed.
All right. Well, if we ever have to review Annie, we'll do that instead. Okay.
So hopefully we'll see you sometime soon, and please watch Twisted.
Yes, absolutely do that.
All right, until next time, I'm Jess.
And I'm Andrew.
And this was Musicals with Cheese. Love you.
Goodbye, friends.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.